confirm that. Chapter 19, verse 29. It says, "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow." So it was primarily he was pleading on behalf of Lot. So Abraham did this, and it's unfortunate that even in Abraham's household, in Lot's household, you think of even the small circle of people he had influence on, you couldn't even find 10.
And so the challenge for us as young people is to be in a place that we might be intercessors for our fellow young people. You know, we recognize that not everyone is like Abraham, walking uprightly before the Lord. And it's difficult sometimes when we see our friends stumble and fall because of sin. But we can do one of two things. We can be those who talk about it and say, "Oh, you know, he used to come and wow, look what he's into." Or we might be on our knees before God, praying for recovery, asking God somehow, whether it's through you or through someone else, that the Lord would send to rescue this person out of Sodom. It's not a good thing to just say, "Well, that's what he deserves. We've talked to him 6 or 7 times before."
If we need to hand a mic to the back now, we can. But we can't hear Tony and have other people talking at the same time.
So it's not good enough for us just to turn over or release others to the enemy, to say, "Well, he's going to go down with the ship. He sat at Grove City. He's heard the same things, or she's heard the same things I have heard." But we need to have a heart like Abraham. And Abraham, I tell you, he wrestled in a sense with God. 50? Is there 25? Is there one? Because he knew Lot was in Sodom. And we need to be on our knees together. And sometimes, young people, even to come together. And you'll find that there are others that have a heart for the Lots that have gone into Sodom. And the blessed news is that God heard Abraham's intercessory prayer. And God stayed his hand of judgment. And we know that as we move into the next chapter now, God intended to bring Lot up out of Sodom. You know why? Because Lot belonged to God. And God was not going to give him over to the enemy in judgment. So let us understand that we can play a vital role in prayer, in giving a word of encouragement, in staying close. That's part of being a friend, too. A brother or sister in the Lord. Saying, "I understand you're going through difficulties. I have prayed for you."
Tony, would you say that Abraham really kind of was able to know what to do in the case of Lot? The first time, he
got his trained men and he went to rescue Lot. You don't read that this time. He didn't say, "Oh, the Lord's going to destroy Sodom. Let me get my 318 young men and go and train and drag him out." He knew what to do when. He's a friend of God. He knows the mind of God. Sometimes you have to go and grab somebody out. Sometimes you might have to wait and pray and ask the Lord to intervene and to help. It's a friend of God that knows when to do what. The first time, it wasn't a time that Abraham will say, "Lord, send 2 angels to get them out." But this time, he stood before the Lord and he knew what to do. He prayed. He knows the mind of God. A friend of God, he could tell. Do you have a friend that sometimes you just look at each other and you know what he's thinking? And you know what he wants you to do? Have you experienced that with close friends? You don't have to say a word. And Abraham was so close to the Lord that he knew it was the time now to pray and not to go and to do anything else.
I know we want to move on, but maybe we could just quickly address the question, because it's come up. I'm pretty sure we're not the only devotional group that had this. Why Abraham stopped at 10 in his intercessory prayer?
You have the answer.
I have a guess.
Huh?
I have a guess.
You can give a guess. I don't have the answer. I don't know. I don't know whether we, but you go ahead and give us what you have. We'd like to hear it.
I was really asking for someone, hoping that someone had the answer, but I'm not asking a question that I know the answer to.
So. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and it's been asked in many, many Bible studies. Why did he stop at 10? I cannot. Mimel, you may have something. I don't know.
What are you going to say?
Maybe it was a lack of faith, you know, not a perfect faith. We do know that the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that words cannot express. So when we can't fully express something in our prayers, the Holy Spirit still intercedes for us. And we hear that God answered, or he remembered Abraham's intercessory prayer. So just my opinion is that just because the words of the prayer weren't, if there is one righteous man, God still knew what Abraham was asking.
I just think simply, if you have a city that is 5-10 million people, it doesn't even have 10 righteous people in it. I mean, what kind of city is that? It deserves destruction. But I think in that thing, it shows me two things. It shows me my limitation. And it shows me also the heart of God. Sometimes we are so limited in our prayer. Said, well, I mean, if a city doesn't have 10 righteous people, man, that must be a really, really, really wicked city. But it showed me the heart of God. Even if Abraham said 10, it deserved to be destroyed. The Lord said, no, for one, I'm going to rescue him out. Because God's interested is not in the world. He's not. Abraham said, don't destroy the city. But the Lord is interested in individual. He wanted to rescue them, I think.
It stands in contrast to Jonah's testimony. He didn't even want to go and preach to them. And when the Lord saved them and held back his judgment, he was angry with the Lord. So what kind of a heart of grace do we have, or is it like Jonah's?
We move on to 19.
I just have a question in the beginning of verse 19. The first verse, it says the angels came to Lot at even, and we saw that Abraham was visited in the heat of the day. So what's the significance of the times at which these two men were met?
See, I wonder if the evening, God had given the whole day. And it is really now the end of the patient, the end. God have extended it the whole day till the evening. And now it cannot continue like that. So God had given the time of grace. All of these time, lesson after lesson. Look at Lot. You know, think of that man. Pitching his tent, and then getting in Sodom, taking captive. You would think, after Abraham rescued him, I'm moving back with Uncle Abraham, right? I came to Grove City, I heard all of these things. I mean, excuse me, but what kind of stupidity it is if you're going to go back to the old ways? And this is a warning that we have here before us. Would you go back to the drugs? Would you go back to the tattoos? Would you go back with your old bad friends? Would you go back to your bad music? Would you go back to the site that you're looking at? Would you go back? After you got the warning and you were rescued, you came this week to be rescued, would you go back? Well, Lot did.